Welcome back to this special episode of the Bees and Honey podcast. I mean, every episode on the podcast is special because I feel I've been able to make a connection to someone who I admire, whose work I admire, who I feel is making an important contribution at this time in history to art and to the world. This artist, Akuzuru, is from Trinidad and Tobago, where I am from. And I think Trinidad has a really, really deep artistic history, not necessarily in a concrete form of painting or sculpture or even anything material, just the entire way of life, you know, the whole carnival, everything in some way or form has a deep spiritual and artistic practice behind it. So Akuzuru is one of these artists who is what she describes as transdisciplinary, and she's been working for decades in Trinidad, and it was such a pleasure to speak to her today. Whenever I speak to her, I really have a sense of purpose in terms of why we do art and what is the purpose of art, and just how powerful art can be when it's practiced with integrity. So I hope you enjoy this episode with Akuzuru as much as I enjoyed speaking with her.
Hello. Good morning, Akuzuru. Hi, Akuzuru. How are you?
I am very well, my dear. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm glad we got this chance to connect. Thank you for being so persistent and incentivizing me to make this happen.
Wonderful. It's a pleasure. And just to let you know, it's been raining here for hours heavily. So I hope it does not affect the recording, the interview and whatnot.
Well, the Wi-Fi perhaps, but I think we'll be able to hear you well enough.
Yeah. I mean, I can hear you clearly. So there's that background rain sound, you know? So,
well,
but
you know,
we've been having a lot of rain in the last couple of days.
It's the rainy season there now, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, post-carnival cleansing showers.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I was really looking forward to this discussion. You know, you saw my reservations. I didn't want to listen to the last conversation you had with Yao.
But I know. Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, he went really, really deep, and he has such a grasp of the tradition of what you're working on that it was really intimidating.
Okay.
However, having said that, I mean, you know, we also have a conversation that goes back on and off for years. So we can just...
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to start first with your name. So tell me how you got that name, Akuzuru.
Well, the name came about during a period of me doing some self-searching. Many years ago, I mean, I was about to leave Trinidad and embark on a new journey in my life. I had just got back from London a few months back at the time. Mm-hmm. This was in 1992. Mm-hmm. And I was on my way to Nigeria to pick up a scholarship to start to do my master's studies in textile design.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt I wanted to have an African name, a name of African origin, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I did my research and came up with Akuzuru, which I felt had a very deep meaning. It means there is enough wealth and abundance to share around. It's from the Igbo language, from the Igbo mm-hmm. peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in Eastern Nigeria.
Right, you know? Right.
Yeah. And the Igbo peoples are known as a very steadfast, resilient, serious people, you know, very industrious. So mm-hmm. I like being associated with that, you know, that kind of thing. So that's why I chose that name.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Yeah, you can carry on.
No, go ahead. If you have more, continue. I didn't want to interrupt.
No, well, that's why I chose that name. And I just wanted to, and that is the beginning of a new phase in my life with regards to the use of Akuzuru as my official name. It's official, and it's also the name I use artistically. And it's a name that people, it's also a very unique name, because even amongst the Igbo peoples, it's the name Akuzuru is rarely used. People use Aku and you know, as a prefix to other, you know what I mean, letters in the name, whatever. But the name Akuzuru itself, Aku itself means wealth, you know?
Right.
So, so the word Aku and then the other names or words attached to it, you hear that in amongst Igbos, but Akuzuru is a kind of a rare name. So I kind of like that it's very unique.
Yes, even among the people where it came from.
Exactly, so yes.
Would you say your artistic life had begun before the name change or after the name change? I mean, what's interesting for me is the level of academic education you have had, which has not watered down the spiritual aspects of the work. This is for me, you know, I think most artists have that challenge. So tell me, when do you think you considered yourself an artist?
I think I consider myself an artist. I would say when I was around 15, 16 years old, actually, because I've always been in the practice. I've always been, my mother always told me that I was always performing something in the house. I was always very dramatic in a way, even though I'm a shy, quiet person at the same time, but when I'm ready to express myself, I do that performatively. And so I would say like around in my mid-teen years, I started doing a lot of drawings of human bodies. I wanted to perfect drawing the human body, and drawing is something I always excelled in doing. You know, so I continued doing these exercises and also started designing clothing. So if I went to these secondary school bazaars, which there was a lot of it, it was quite prevalent at the time, different high school bazaars around Trinidad at a certain time of the year. And my mother was always sewing. You know, she comes from a generation of mothers back in the day when, they made their children's school uniforms and stuff, you know? And so she used to make our school uniforms, because I'm the eldest of you know, four children. And I would design the clothes. I wouldn't physically make it, but I would help her to make it. I would design the clothes that I would love to wear at a bazaar, and she would assist me in making these clothes, you know? And it was always, and I always wanted to stand out. That's the thing, you know? So I think that wanting to stand out because you wanted to push boundaries is the beginnings of me becoming an artist or being an artist in that sense, you know?
Yes. And how would you describe your art starting then or now? Is it, it's obviously evolved, but are the roots of it the same? The performance, the textiles?
I mean, the thing is, I did dance studies. I did ballet, and I did contemporary dance as well. I studied classical music. I studied the steel pan. I participated in steel pan festivals. You know, so the musical aspect is, or what I call to what I do in my work today, sound vibrations, and also. You know, designing fashions. What was I saying? Yes, designing the clothing, the music,
performance,
and doing the performative. I was in secondary school. I participated in the carnival. That was the only carnival I participated in physically in a band in Trinidad. But I participated in Notting Hill Carnival for several years during my life in England. And I designed a band. There was a time I designed a band at the Notting Hill Carnival as well. You know, so so my work has its roots with dance and music, movement, and making these explorations and investigations into the potential of the human spirit, the potential of the spirit within. and taking it to another level. And of course, as the years, as the years passed, I got more spiritual with my work, and was more in, and become more interested in transcending, human consciousness, and people becoming more aware of being becoming more deeply self-aware, so to speak.
Yes.
You know. So.
Well, I recently thought about the correlations, because you said, performance, dance, music, the costumes, and now the spirituality.
Right.
The roots that you have in, I guess, West Africa
have
that in their spiritual traditions, all of those factors that make up your work.
Yes. I was in Nigeria. London was important as well. I'll get to Africa, but just to mention that I was in London for 6 years. I studied fashion there, actually. And what was interesting in London is that there was a major, what I call fashion art movement going on, because there were so many interesting designers, whether they're individuals or whether they are, couples or whether it's a group, but more individual people who... they were so philosophical. There were these amazing, I felt that British fashion was very avant-garde, very different, pushed boundaries. During this is the 80s we're talking about. So 80s, they had the punk going on, the punk culture and all of that, But in terms of fashion, for me, it was a major, that was the art movement for me. That was my visual art,
Yes.
And so I was very much into that, very much a part of that. And then I got the scholarship to go to Nigeria and study textiles. And that is when I became closer to the culture of, because I wanted to go to Nigeria, and the scholarship came up. And then I studied at one of the preeminent schools in West Africa, which is the Amadou-Bello University. And I studied, did my master's in textile art. And that was an interesting time for me, because I got into textiles, and that in itself is a very sophisticated culture within Nigeria itself. There's so many different cultures within the textile tradition. But apart from that, you had the culture of the people, the different people, and the intonation of languages. So you have these intertwinings, of cultures in Nigeria, which is very, very interesting for me. As I developed my work. And then I also designed the clothing for clientele. I was known in Nigeria as a designer, actually. I was well known in Nigeria. I designed clothing, and I did. And these were people who are accepting me doing some things that are different. These are not conservative outputs I made. I made very original type garments. And then, of course, I witnessed Fela Kuti in his shrine. I visited the shrine of Fela Kuti before he died, and I witnessed him perform live in his shrine. And this is really quite iconic and very important as well. So a lot of very, very pivotal things have happened in Nigeria. Nigeria was a pivotal point in my life as an artist. And, of course, the landscape itself, I started getting more into nature, looking at the natural world, looking at these termite mounds. When you make these long journeys from one state to the next, and these took 10 hours, and in those 10 hours, the landscapes changed, and you look at these 10-foot tall anthills as you go along, the weather patterns, and you look at the insects, these giant insects that would hit, like if you're on the road at night, making these long journeys, these huge insects would be getting squashed on the windscreen of your car. You have to keep putting on your windshield to remove all the mess from the, and it was really quite dramatic. And then you're seeing animals, monkeys crossing the some of the roads and the highways and stuff like that. So it's such a compact situation of so many different things. And this is what marinated what I was to become. It's performative, it's architectural, it's sculptural, within the installation, it's tableau vivant, you know, it's all of these things, sound experiments, that kind of thing, you know. So,
and I want to go back to the idea of spirituality, and because this is a big thing for me right now, the divine feminine and, you know, the role of shaman or medium in the role of an artist. Can you tell me a little bit about that as well?
Right.
As it relates to nature, perhaps?
Well, yes. Well, nature, of course, in many cultures of the world, is represented as being feminine, because you talk about Mother Earth. You talk about mother, the universe. So mother factors heavily in many cultures with regards to, because in ancient times, in many cultures, people were closer to the earth, they were closer to the cosmos, they lived according to the patterning of the cosmos and what have you in the universe. And so I felt it was very important to re-inscribe that into people's consciousness, that even though you live this artificial life, this urban life and stuff like that, and you want people to respect the earth and to respect that you are a spirit having a human experience and you are living within a cosmic situation. This is a cosmology, which is an expansive paradigm of situations, of stars. And this femininity, which you pointed out is represented in Yoruba culture, is very real. And it has factored into my work, where I have developed a series of, I've always considered my expressions to be fertility works, you know, and within, if I'm doing installation works, I always develop these figures or drawings. It could be in the form of a drawing, which becomes a sculpture. And I call that entity that I have in my sculptures, cultural installations, which overlooks the entire installation, I call it the Maguayapa. And these Maguayapas were developed, in fact, from my experience in Trinidad, as well as looking at Mama and Guayap, which is a commingling of, you know, a coming together of people to do something positive for the community. So I put Mama and Guayap, you know, together to bring to, so that you have this coinage that I brought about called Maguayapa, you know. So, that for me is important in my installations, which I still continue to this day. And of course, in the pieces that I make, my performances. A lot of my performances will have female co-performers who are, if they're performing with me, I'll have my female co-performers, and I wanted to generate this feminine power. This feminine power is an engine, so this feminine power through the gestures and also through the actual body pieces that they would wear in the performance, you know, in these performative constructions, these actionisms, as I call it.
Right, the actionisms with the AK.
Yes, exactly. So that is you know, bringing my name, the Akuzuru. So that's why I use the AK dash. I mean, action actually is German or what should I call it? Austrian. But that's the way they spell action. But I wanted to make my name a part of that. So that's why I put the AK dash, T-I-O-N-S.
Right.
Chinism kind of thing, you know?
It's kind of like a trademark as well, yes.
Kind of like a trademark, you know?
And then I wanted to ask, you know, the white that you use very often in the performances and which you wear all the time, you know, it's the color of the initiate. And again, a lot of Western African traditions. What does it symbolize for you, this wearing of white?
Well, the wearing of the white, it symbolizes a new beginning for me. And it also represents for me, it instills in me a sense of stillness, a sense of silence within the self, and a centeredness to not forget who you are. And then of course, there's a reverberation of vibrations from this white that I feel it expands out into the actual cosmos itself. So, of course, in wearing the white and the kind of construction, the way I constructed these white garments that I wear, it gets reactions from people, but the intention is not an egotistic intention. It's more of a spiritual, it's a spiritual intention. And it just so happens that it impacts upon people, which is a good thing, because the whole idea, I think, you know, performance and everyday gestures in the things that I wear and how I wear it, it's ongoing, whether it's in the work or whether it's everyday life. You know, it's ongoing, so it's all connected.
It's not a costume, it's a way of life.
It's a way of life, I don't wear it as a costume at all. There's no costuming. It's part of a vibratory patterning that I'm trying to connect and reverberate throughout the entire world, you know, and expand out into the galaxies. So the work is just not stationed in here materially. It transcends and transmutes, you know, and transform. It's transformative in its intention.
So what are you working on now? And I have a pressing question, which is the complete opposite of all of these things. But for me, just thinking from an art dealer perspective, what exactly do you sell? I mean, let's say you're going to have a show in a gallery and it's a performance and you have some drawings or stuff like that. What would the person showing you outside of a museum context have to give to, let's say, a collector?
Well, the thing is, the thing about it is, I, you know, money is a sort of, or the exchange of money. I would like to think of it as an exchange of, what can I say? An exchange of understanding, of energy and understanding, you know? And because I live in the material world, money comes into the play, but it is not, I would not say, my work is not commercial, but I do a lot of drawings in my installations, and if there are dealers who are interested in doing a reproduction of my performances, there will have to be a certain amount of agreement with regards to the reproduction of that, or the showing of a film, or the reproduction of an actual physical performance. You know, so that is where the monetary aspect will come in, and then the drawings and photographs. That is also a monetary exchange as well, too, with an understanding of the energy that would be involved in showing the work. You know, it's not that here I have this, here buy it, and that's it. It will have to be an agreement where if you are showing the work, it will have to be shown in a certain kind of way, in a certain kind of situation, because it's again a vibratory, it's a vibration, and you want it to be in its right context, you know, in the right kind of space, kind of thing.
There is
a possibility, to acquire through monetary means my certain pieces of my work, whether it's in the form of my sculptural performative pieces or art sculptures, because that's what I'm working on now. Actually, I was working on a solo exhibition, a major solo that was supposed to come up at the Central Bank Museum in 2020, and that got postponed because of the current situation that has afflicted the world. So I'm still working on that, which is meant to be, I don't want to give away the title and all of that. That is performative, and it also is an installation connection as well too.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Several sculptural works. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, what are you currently working on? So I guess that would have been the exhibition that you were planning for 2020.
The exhibition, and also I'm working on a series of drawings. I've just completed 300 drawings, and I did another 39 drawings as well, and I want to start another series of drawings. So what this 1 year of non-disturbance, I call it, and isolatory obligations, I have gotten more into myself, and there's humongous amount of drawing works and planning for future projects, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I was also going to ask you, what is your point of view about this whole pandemic? But I think you answered it right there.
Yeah.
And I mean, in terms of what you see happening for yourself within Trinidad and outside, what would you say are your goals for the unknown future? I mean, what would you like to do after this project that you have lined up in Trinidad?
What I would love to do is continue my earthology project, which I started in India back in 2008. I want to continue these projects globally. And this earthology project consists of making interventions into nature and into different topographical situations in the natural world, globally. So this is something that hopefully, when traveling becomes normalized again, whatever that means, or when it becomes possible, I would like to continue that project. One in India was very, very successful. It was a very productive time in India. So this is something I would like to start to continue to work on. And to make, again, I've done a lot of stuff all over the, in many countries thus far. And very blessed to have been able to share my work with populations from other cultures, the people, in different institutions and what have you.
Well, was India part of a residency, or how did you do that project? On your own, or in the context of a gallery, or how did that work?
Well, I was awarded, I was given an award by the Commonwealth Foundation back in 2007. And I used this award to do two residency projects in India, meaning two different residency locations in the northern part in Delhi and in the southern part in Bangalore. And so these were two residencies which I used to produce this major project called Earthology. So I did this Earthology project through doing this residency and produced a book that compiles the work. And of course, I also worked with a gallery too. I did a solo presentation at a gallery in Bangalore, Sumukha Gallery. So that was my first exhibition in India at Sumukha Gallery in Bangalore.
Yes.
And I did some really amazing interventions in the nature in the outskirts of Bangalore in these amazing landscapes, and I did particularly this work at within, and I say, and I mean within, a banyan tree, a giant banyan tree, which is 400 years old and 1 acre large, and to this day continues to grow. So they've actually fenced off around this banyan tree and made it into a park. It's that big, So I did a performative intervention I had two co-workers with me. These two women, and these two women, I might add, are women who are in the sex industry. These are what they call sex workers in India. And I felt it was important to have them because I wanted to show that despite what they do and what people might think of such women or men who make a living through this, they are actually protected by an institution. So I actually approached this organization with a proposal to work with two women from the industry because this organization protects them.
Absolutely.
So professionally, I approached them with a proposal, and I met these two ladies. I was introduced to these two women, and they did a wonderful job, and they really liked working with me, because I think it's their first time working with an artist. And the work I do is quite meditative, you know. I wanted the way that I had them performing the work for these series of photographs I did was for them to, I shrouded their whole bodies and placed them in various situations in the nature, within the banyan tree and out in the nature as well, amongst the rocks and stuff like that. And it's for them to get to go into themselves, to take them away from the rigors of what they do, and to see themselves as special, unique beings, as spiritual beings, you know, who have amazing potentials, you know what I mean? So this was a healing piece, and I call these healing chambers, what I call healing chambers, you know?
So beautiful, so beautiful, so beautiful.
Yeah,
well, so I have some ideas from you, but for you, but I'll give you these ideas again when I get off the call, because as you speak, I'm just thinking of some opportunities that might be interesting. I mean, I really am appreciative of your work. I wish I could show you how appreciative I am. I really think this work is so, so, so important. And I mean, I even wonder, like, how many people in Trinidad actually know about what you're doing? I know there's a select few, the art circle, that know your work, but how
there's
many people?
There's a select few. Yeah. Well, I was hoping that this exhibition, sorry to cut you, like that.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, but people, I mean, back in the, let me see, I would say in the early 2000s, and even from 1992, from 92, I had an exhibition at the Acarella, what was then the Acarella Galleries, which is now today Medulla, which is run by Jeffrey McLean. You know, I had a solo exhibition at the Acarella Galleries. And during that time, there was this bicentennial exhibition where there was a big Caribbean exhibition, very important, huge Caribbean exhibition. Which was talking about the effects of the Christopher Columbus element within the Caribbean. And it was done, it was hosted by a French curator, a French dealer. And he actually bought two drawings from that, because my solo was, exhibition was on during the time of that that big Caribbean show. So in a way, I was kind of part of that in a kind of a way. And he actually bought a couple of drawings from my exhibition at the Acarello back in the day. And so that was one thing. And then also, and then of course, I was in Nigeria for another 7 years. So another 7 year absence from Trinidad. But during the early 2000s, I had a solo at the National Museum. So it was written about in The Guardian in a big way. And there were a series of other things that happened in Trinidad. And of course, I've been traveling a lot as well internationally. I've been doing a lot of international residencies and presentations and invitations. And what I wanted, I was hoping that doing this exhibition, I thought it was important to do, like, you know, a kind of a major show here. And the central bank thing came up. And I was hoping that through that presentation at the central bank, more people in Trinidad will actually familiarize themselves or refamiliarize themselves with my work.
Right. You know. Well, the good thing is, you know, Trinidadian artists in general are getting some opportunities in the world. I know, what's his name? Che Loveless just had a solo show at a gallery that has spaces in LA and Seoul, Korea. So, I mean, you know, I'll do what I can here as well to start to figure out more opportunities in this. You know, I have one collector who basically says, like, America is not the place to really find great art. He's like, the economic pressures here just kill any artistic, any real art inclinations.
Right.
But
Yeah.
I think you can have both if you really try. So I will see if I come up with some opportunities that might fit what you're working on.
Yeah, that'll be wonderful, you know.
Yeah.
I did my debut show in the United States. It wouldn't be the first time I would be exhibiting there, but I did something at the Perez Art Museum, Miami. That's the PAM.
Yes.
The Perez Art Museum, Miami, yes. And that was a major performance work. I even had two horses. I got two horses to be part of that particular performative work as well. It was a 2-day, meaning that it was held over 2 days in two different presences that connected into one show. And that was part of the Caribbean Crossroads of the World exhibition, which was a touring exhibition, you know?
Yes.
So, and plus that was the first commissioned the performance work by any artist at that particular museum, which I did there. You know.
And, you know, the museum, Brooklyn Museum, did a Caribbean exhibition a while ago, and I didn't really know your work at that time, and I don't think they knew it either. Otherwise, they would have surely put you in it.
Yeah.
I don't think they really knew. But it's all right, you know. It's everything in its time.
In its time, exactly.
Yeah.
It gives me the space to expand my visions even more without too much... art market disturbances and things like that.
Well, I mean, I see some artists from the Caribbean who do really well in the market, and then I see others who kind of, I wouldn't say it gets watered down, but it's not as challenging as it was when you first saw it.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's like each guess each guy has or girl has her path.
I mean, you know, the artistic practice, for me, it's a dedication, it's a constant. And it demands a certain amount of introspection and honesty in the person that is doing the work. And I do appreciate these works from artists who, you know, who really push the boundaries of what it means to be in existence. You know, I use the term transdisciplinary to describe my practice and process, which connotes an engagement with several intertwined disciplines. And the resulting works from which are then transmuted, transforming, and transcended from the very genres itself that have birthed these material expressions. You know, this is about going beyond the material and utilizing ritual precepts, which are in fact vibrations in tandem with the frequency of the earth and the wider cosmos, you know?
Yes.
So, and then again, through the chamber of healing or the healing chambers, the aim is for the engaging participant to explore anew, you know, one's existence and what this existence means. So it goes beyond the self and beyond consciousness itself. And of course, you're looking at, and then it goes into the purity of existence, beyond even the consciousness.
You know? And certainly beyond the material.
Yeah, you know. So.
Well, I think with that, I mean, is there anything else you want to add? Because I think with that, it's a good note to end.
I don't know what else to add. I mean, it's just that the work is, you know, it's all encompassing. It's what I call a total art. My art is a total art. And that in itself, you know, has its own challenges and energies that goes along with doing this type of stuff. But it is quite gratifying when, you know, when you work on a project, when you work on something, and what is the reason for doing these projects, for doing these artworks? And I ask myself this question all the time, you know. But it's like an author writing a book. It's like someone writing a book, you know, or it's like a sage person in the midst of millions of people, and you're giving this deep spiritual lecture. So I see my art or my work in tandem with this kind of activity, in this kind of deep, reverberating and reverent activity. I mean, I'm not egotistically placing myself as this leader of people and whatnot, you know, but as a shaman would do, or would, or the sage would do, or, you know, or the yogi would do, or whatnot.
Yes.
It's all about the investigation into the self, ultimately, you know, trying to understand what that means, you know. And I'm hoping that these shutdowns and lockdowns and isolations that are going on, I hope it you know, it gives people another chance. And I would say, at this point in time, to look within and to absorb and embrace love and peace. You know.
Yes. Yes. Well, I think actually that was the good ending right there. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I hope I see you soon, one way or another. Think Trinidad is still closed to travel, is it?
Yes, the borders are still closed at the moment. There is another lockdown, because it seems that cases have spiked locally. Cases have spiked, but. That's what's happening currently. So I look forward to seeing you soon as well. And I thank you so much for having me on your platform.
Yeah, it was
a pleasure.
So good for me.
I'm glad you appreciate.
Yes. Well, take care and we'll talk soon. Okay, I'll send you a message after we're done.
All right, thanks so much.
Okay. Take care. Have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me for this episode with Akuzuru, one of my most favorite Trinidadian artists today. And join us again soon for another episode. I'm working on establishing the podcast on another platform, which I will share more about in the coming weeks. Have a great week.